Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Thursday, April 12th edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So if you did happen to miss yesterday's, it's still right there for you. Swing on over there, check it out, and you know, you should stop by that, you know, sportstimeradio.com occasionally just to see what the hell else pops up. Of course, while you're over there, follow that link over to the, click the link, I should say, and follow it over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Dan and I'd appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at BurkeTime, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan, I don't know if you heard this one, but the Seattle Seahawks had scheduled an, you know, I don't know if they were calling it an interview or a meeting or a workout or what they were trying to decide to call it with Colin Kaepernick. Well, they had some pre-interview conversations, and to no surprise, the issue came up of what he was planning to do during the national anthem. And he would not guarantee them, even though he had said in interviews before that he would no longer kneel, he wouldn't guarantee the Seahawks that he would not continue to kneel for the national anthem. So one thing led to another, and they decided to cancel this meeting because, you know, I don't know if that was an issue. You know, I mean, obviously that's the issue that everybody's reporting. Who knows if it's something else? The Seahawks haven't released a statement. You know, Dan, I'm trying to figure out if maybe this guy just doesn't want to play in the NFL anymore, because by now he's got to understand that to get a job as a backup quarterback, you can't be a distraction. And that's all he is right now to a team, is a distraction. You know, if he's going to continue to do this, I mean, originally, it was a fantastic idea. I believe it's lost, you know, all meaning that he had decided he was going to do with it, you know, with the way it's kind of played out and everything. You know, I mean, if he was to come back next year and kneel down, I don't really think anybody would care. I don't think it would have an effect, you know, except it would be, oh, he's kneeling down again. You know, you know, I don't know. Now, I guess the question I want you to answer for me is, does this prove collusion? Because all the media heads are jumping up and down saying this proves Kaepernick's case and he's being colluded against. Do you buy that? Is it going to work in court for him?
No, I don't buy that at all. I mean, that's, you know, they don't have to hire him because of his political beliefs.
Yeah, you know, that's the one thing I've always been kind of baffled by. You know, the term collusion is, how do you force somebody to hire and pay somebody a large amount of money? You know, we heard it a little bit in the offseason with baseball, you know, about collusion. But, you know, then you had guys like Jake Arrieta who were turning down $20 million a year deals because they wanted more money. I don't understand how you're colluding against these people when you're offering them jobs that could possibly pay them millions of dollars. And I mean, it's not like, you know, they're asking Kaepernick to, you know, shave his head or, you know, get a tattoo removed or something like that. They specifically just wanted to know what his plans were. And, you know, and I wonder if maybe if he would have answered them instead of giving them such an ambiguous answer, if, you know, things would have went differently. I mean, if he would have said, yes, I still plan on kneeling, maybe they still would have had the meeting with him and given him the tryout because they would have gotten an answer. But to kind of say, I don't know, I'm undecided, I might still kneel, you know, you obviously, if you're a team, you kind of want the answer, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially at this stage of the game, you either give us an answer, you do it, or you don't.
So yeah, you know, and of course, obviously, you know, now the Seahawks are, you know, it's all their fault now. You know, and the sad part is I think he would fit really well with them. You know, they released their backup quarterback, who was a kid by the name of Tyler Boykin. When he got arrested for domestic violence, they didn't even, you know, look into the case. Like, I know the 49ers have a linebacker who got arrested on 3 counts, and they're actually letting the legal process play out. The Seahawks didn't even care, you know, backup quarterback, they just cut the guy. You know, the 49er guy is a starting linebacker, so that's all the difference in the world there. You know, and I think that applies a little bit to Kaepernick because, you know, taking race out of this, and I know everybody wants to play the race card here. I don't believe race has anything to do with it. If he was as talented as an Aaron Rodgers, a Drew Brees, or a Tom Brady, or one of these guys, we wouldn't even be having this conversation, Dan, would we? He'd be starting in the NFL if he was kneeling to everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, even if it was O-Canada at a hockey game, he wouldn't, you know.
I mean, I don't even want to go there, but he is mixed. And, you know, now that he's stood up, he's a hero. But I'm sure growing up for him, he was, you know, an outcast from both sides.
Yeah, and it's all, I also find it odd that they use the race card. Like, I've heard 3 different guys today use the race card in this situation with him, and you're the first one I've actually heard mention that he is, I don't even know what the proper term is. Can we say mulatto without getting in trouble? Do they still use that term? But I believe his mom is white and his dad is African American. You know,
yeah,
so...
You know, and I say that because it's not because it's what I think. It's what I know and what I've experienced in my life.
Yeah.
You know, growing up in the suburbs with nothing but white people, you're just the Mexican, you know. Go play soccer and go back to Mexico. And when I went back to Mexico, but, you know, the city of Chicago, where it was in areas that were predominantly Mexican, I was the suburban white boy, so I was accepted by neither, you know.
Yeah, only because you ended up with kind of the in-between skin color, right? You weren't obviously light enough to be considered white, and then you weren't dark enough to be considered Mexican. So you kind of got caught in the middle, and neither side wanted to claim you. So.
Exactly. I mean, in the summer, I did get a little darker, a lot darker, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's not permanent, so.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, I was just the little fat kid that got made fun of. I didn't have any problems with, you know, being you know, trying to figure out what color I actually was. So that worked out okay for me. But, yeah, I it's to the point where, you know, I really think he wanted to do a good thing when this all started. And it's just such a mess now that... You know, if he is signed, I really don't think he should kneel and just continue his cause outside of the NFL and try to get guys on board with him and help the cause. Because, you know, obviously he had a good idea, and it's just been so bastardized now by, you know, what players did. And I believe is he the only player that we know of that's actually used his own money to support this cause, or do you know of another guy who's actually thrown some money around?
No, I haven't really looked into it.
Yeah, so...
Because they want the NFL to do it.
Yeah, well, I think the NFL did. I believe the NFL did end up giving money, so, you know, it did kind of go that way. But, yeah, I don't know. Do you see him playing, or do you think he's done?
Not unless Miami takes a shot at him.
Yeah, so, You know, well, you know, the weird part is I was hoping like a team like Cleveland would pick him up so we'd at least have a reason to talk about the Browns. You know, I mean, he'd have been the perfect distraction for him last year, right, while they were getting their heads kicked in pretty much every game.
Yeah, they could probably use that. But,
all right. Yeah. Well, let's roll on here. We only had one day baseball game today, Dan, and it was a thriller. The Pirates did beat up on the Cubs 6-1. You know, some basic FanDuel stats for you here. Adam Frazier went 2-for-5 for the Pirates, scored a run and had an RBI because one of his hits was a solo home run. Gregory Polanco went 2-for-2 with 2 runs and 2 RBIs, and yes, you guessed it, both his hits were solo home runs. And then Francisco Cervelli went 2-for-5 with a run and 3 RBIs. He also hit a home run, but his was of the 3-run variety. On the Cubs side, Ian Happ went 2-for-4. Kyle Schwarber went 3-for-4 with a run and an RBI, and he had the Cubs' only scoring opportunity, I guess you call it. He hit a solo home run. They were the only two Cubs with multiple hits. Pitching-wise, Trevor Williams went 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. It was earned. Walked the guy, struck out 5, and he got the win for the Pirates to improve to 3-0. On the Cubs side, Kyle Hendricks was the starter, went 6 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, walked 3, struck out 7. He took the loss. He's now 0-1 on the year. I was joking with Dan off the air because Justin Wilson came in and just got lit up. Dan, I got to tell you, I turned the game on. It was 1-0, and I managed to turn it on just in time to see Kyle Schwarber homer. The humorous thing about that is while they were talking before his at-bat, while his at-bat was going on, my two favorite idiot broadcasters, Len and JD, were talking about the weather at Wrigley Field and how it had really changed, and now the wind was blowing in, and there probably wouldn't be any more home runs because the ball would be held up by the wind. Well, Schwarber hit a rocket that would have got out of any park in any time of the day, no matter what the wind was doing. Then the next thing I know, Dan, all of a sudden there's 3 more home runs, and I can't figure out what happened to this great win that these morons were talking about. Undoubtedly the two stupidest announcers in baseball. I don't know how either of these guys have jobs. They're just complete idiots because they continued to talk about the weather and how much colder it had gotten and the wind. And yet after the Schwarber home run, the Pirates hit 3 more home runs. So I'm guessing the wind had a great benefactor on it, or a benefit, or whatever the hell I'm trying to say there. Dan, I don't even know how many games they played. I can't take any more of these two morons. You know, I'm literally to the point where I might have to stop watching Cubs games because I just can't deal with these idiots, and we're 12 games in. They're just killing me.
Yeah, I think I was listening then when I heard the temperature drop, but I missed the wind. You know, and one of the funny things about Wrigley is the wind may be blowing in right field, but it could be blowing out in left field and doing nothing in center. So if you watch those flags on both corners, they go different ways any given time of the year.
So, yeah, and I was just like, you know, will you idiots please shut up now? Adam Frazier, I believe, homered to like center or a little bit to left center. I don't remember where Polanco's homer was, but Cervelli's home run was kind of to left center as well. And it's just kind of like, maybe you guys missed the wind direction a little bit because these balls seem to be getting out of there okay. Sadly, nothing from the Cubs side because the Pirates pitchers weren't really grooving it like Justin Wilson was, but you know, that happens from time to time. I realize I can't go to a Cubs game, Dan, because I want to go up there and punch both those guys in the face. And I know that's assault, and I don't want to go to jail in Chicago because you'd have to come get me. So.
Yeah, you can't get up there.
Right. I would find a way. I could throw a grappling hook into the booth and climb up there. So, I was fed up fed up with them. But here's the rest of the schedule, Dan. We got the Tigers at the Indians are already underway. The Indians have a 2-0 lead already. It's Michael Fulmer for the Tigers and Trevor Bauer for the Indians. The Cardinals are at the Reds. This game is just getting started. It's Michael Walker for the Cardinals and Sal Romano for the Reds. The Rockies are at Washington. It's Chad Bettis against Gio Gonzalez. The MLB Network game, of course, is the Yankees at the Red Sox with Sonny Gray against Rick Porcello. The White Sox are in Minnesota. We got Lucas Giolito against Jose Berrios. Everybody said that Berrios is the FanDuel play of the day. I do have him in my lineup against the White Sox. We'll see how that goes. Probably means the Sox will score 10 runs. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are at the Kansas City Royals, Dan. We got Nick Trapino against Ian Kennedy. And then the Mickey Mouse Network has a game. It's listed here as being on the Mickey Mouse Plus Network. I don't know which one that is. You'll have to find it for yourself. Maybe it is the Ocho. But it's the San Francisco Giants at the San Diego Padres. We got Chris Stratton against Brian Mitchell. So there's your schedule tonight, Dan. You excited about any of those games?
Yeah, the Capitals game.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
So, but while we are hanging out on baseball, you know, you and I got to talk a little bit about the Padres-Rockies brawl. I actually went to bed before the Yankee-Red Sox brawl started. I did see the slide by Tyler Austin, and while I did think it was a little cheap, I didn't think it was as bad as kind of Brock Holt maybe overreacted a little to it. I understand as a middle infielder now you kind of feel entitled because you're literally untouchable. Did you see the slide that kind of kicked this thing off and made the benches empty the first time? Did you mute yourself? Did you fall away? Don't tell me you disconnected. No, he's still there. Did you mute yourself, Dan? Where'd you go? Uh-oh. Well, they did warn me we were having issues at the start of the podcast, so maybe this is one of the issues. So, but yeah, anyways, you know, and, you know, part of the reason is, you know, while it was clear to Brock Holt that he wasn't going to be able to turn the double play, Tyler Austin doesn't know this running down the line. You know, he can't see what's going on. He doesn't know if Brock Holt is going to throw the ball. You know, and if Holt would have just gotten 2 or 3 more inches clear of the bag, Austin wouldn't have been able to touch him because he would have been out of the baseline. It would have been an automatic double play. You know, and, you know, he just didn't. Like I said, it was a little cheap when you look at it, but, you know, kind of all said and done, I can kind of see it there. And Dan did end up falling off, so let me bring Dan back in here. Did you see the slide, Dan, that got this whole thing kicked off?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I would have ejected him right away and called him out.
Would you have called the automatic double play? Oh, no. Did we do it again with Dan? How are we going to have one of these days? I hate when this happens. So, but, yeah, so, you know, that led, obviously, to the first bench-clearing episode with no punches being thrown. There was nothing exchanged. Well, Tyler Austin came up a little later in the game facing, you know, what you could describe as a pretty hard-throwing Red Sox reliever in Joe Kelly. You know, he's 95-plus, and I didn't see any of this, but apparently what I heard is, the first attempt, Kelly missed, and the ball went behind him. Let's see if I can bring Dan back in here and confirm that. Come on, there we go. All right, let's try this one more time, Dan. At bat where he got hit, did the first pitch go behind Tyler Austin, and then he hit him with the second pitch? Is that how that went? Did you see that?
That I didn't see. I saw the direct hit. So, I mean,
yeah, because I thought –
was way overboard.
Yeah, he got about as carried away as Brock Holt did. You know, I find it a little baffling that, you know, and again, I understand, you know, I've been hit by a baseball a million times. You don't want to get hit by a baseball. You know, especially when it's being thrown by, you know, 97 or whatever they clocked it at with by Joe Kelly. But you can't tell me he didn't expect that, Dan. How did he not know that was going to happen? You know, and again, they didn't head hunt, but wasn't up around the head. Why, you know, why do players not get it in today's game?
I don't think they do that in the minor leagues. I think they're babied all the way up, and that's why I think his 5-game suspension is weak. It should have been a 10-game. You know, if you see his reaction, he slams the bat down first. He obviously is pissed, but he knows why he got hit, and then he runs out there. No, I mean, it should have been an automatic 10-game. You could appeal it all you want, but I wouldn't, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't give him anything.
I did decide yesterday, Dan, you know, I said Nolan Arenado should have got 10 games. And then when he appealed, I would have reduced it to 9. I actually changed my mind on that. When he reduced it, when he appealed it, I would have made it 11. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the way it's going now, you can appeal all you want, but I don't even think they should. Take it to appeal, but you know, unless it was an inside pitch that got away, which you can tell the difference. I mean, that was a beanball, 100%. But you know, unless you can really kind of prove it's an accident, we could see that it's an accident. The appeals, they can do them all they want, but I wouldn't give them away. You know, like you said, I'd be more in favor of giving 11.
You know, like you talked about accident, and you know, you and I mentioned it. I mentioned it to you a little off air. Elvis Andrews got hit last night, complete accident. It was an inside pitch that just kind of kept running in, and you know, nothing intentional there at all. It was just, you know, one of those things that happen in baseball. And sadly now, you know, it's being reported that Andrews is going to miss 6 to 8 weeks, but on the plus side, he's not going to need surgery. So, you know, at least that's the, I guess the positive you can take out of that. You know, again, you know, Tyler Austin got, you know, he got drilled in the side, kind of like Arenado didn't even get hit. The ball went behind him, you know, and they both went ape crazy. Austin was a little more demonstrative. You know, what was really funny is I wasn't quite sure if Austin was going to go to the mound until – did you see Joe Kelly call him out? He made the hand gesture like, come on, if you're going to go, let's go.
No, I didn't see that. So I think that's the decision of the suspension on his part too.
Yeah, you know, they did hand him down. What was it? Austin got 5 and Kelly got 6. I don't know why Kelly got one more. I think they probably should have gotten the same amount. I don't understand that one at all. I don't believe there were any other suspensions. Let me see the article here if they got anything. Each player, of course, was fined. But, yeah, those look like they're the only two reported suspensions. Alex Cora and Phil Nevin were also fined, which was no surprise there. They had a bit of, and then let's see, they have your guys, Xander Bogaerts, Marco Hernandez, Dustin Pedroia, and Cece Sabathia were all fined for leaving the bench while on the disabled list. So. So, yeah, and I think I saw both players are appealing already.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see how that works out or what they end up doing. But, yeah, I don't know. Dan, do you see do we get an incident tonight possibly? You see something happening?
I don't think so. I think if there's any hit batters, there's immediately going to be a warning. It's hard to say with the Red Sox because they seem to every year or the last couple of seasons kind of pick a team and just keep going with it. if you remember last year, it was, you know, Pedroia and the Orioles.
Yeah.
Where so. Pedroia was, you know, even okay with it.
Well, I heard something that kind of fits right up with your conspiracy theory with, you know, this kind of stuff. Chris Rose, I was watching Intentional Talk in between outs of the Cubs game, and Chris Rose mentioned that he thinks the league secretly likes the fact that the Yankees and Red Sox are going to go at each other like this, because obviously, well, they're the Yankees and the Red Sox, and, you know, they're those guys that they want to see do these kind of things. Are you buying that? Does that fit into your conspiracy theory window there?
A little bit. I mean, I think what I'm more surprised by is the fact that Chris Rose would go out and say that himself. I mean, but, you know, not to knock him, or, you know, I know, especially when they first got the show started, I used to tweet him a lot, mess with him with, you know, being an Indians fan, because from the Indians kind of sucked. But, you know, knowing that he's been especially a big guy on Fox and kind of been around the game, and, you know, I'm surprised he's able to kind of come out and say something like that and then not only say it, but get away with it and not cause anything harm to himself.
Yeah, well, you know, I think he's a little more secure now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You know, but I think it plays into it. I mean, you know, one thing you and I've learned or probably knew about reality TV, so to speak, was that it was all, while it may not be 100% scripted, there is some scripting to it. So you need that. You need the quote, the drama to keep people watching. And it's the Red Sox Yankees, so they want people to watch those games.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that would be, you know, if you're into that, I mean, that would be an interesting reason to watch to see if, you know, if something like this is gonna continue. So.
Well, you know, it's just, it's funny because you've got the, you know, the pot and the main ones, obviously Major League Baseball and then the NFL. The NBA, we know why they don't fight, because everybody's friends unless you're on a team with,
yeah,
Bobby Portis. Rim shot. But, you know, when it comes to hockey, it's like fully 100% acceptable still. So I think with hockey, it's just so much easier because these guys fight it out, the referees finish it, and then they go to the penalty box, and that's pretty much the end of it. Where Major League Baseball, you've got this whole thing where you're suspended, but now, you know, you get to appeal. So then you're still playing. And then, you know, you go to your appeal and, you know, all this like court drama, so to speak. So I'm surprised they don't start incorporating that into the TV drama, you know, cut into, you know, these guys, you know, hearings, so to speak, during the commercial breaks.
I would watch that.
Yeah, it's a new show for MLB Network.
I would definitely watch that. You know, see what goes on there. I'd be like, hey. So, but yeah, I thought it was kind of, you know, kind of interesting. You know, an interesting take on it. You know, you add a little. You know, I don't know if the series needed any extra drama, but, you know, you add a little extra drama with. You know, the possibility that we could, you know, we could brawl again tonight or the next time. I mean, again, you know, it's two teams, you know, just like the Padres and the Rockies that are going to meet, you know, a total of 19 times this season. So there's, you know, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for hard feelings or whatever you want to look at it, right?
Yeah. But I still think, you know, with the way the rule has been established, we all know how it goes. Austin was out of line, and that was intentional. It wasn't a break up the play thing. That was completely intentional.
Yeah. Well, again, the only defense I think he really has is he doesn't know if Brock Holt is going to try to turn the double play. As it ended up, he ended up holding on. Well, yeah, but he didn't go like drastically out of his way or anything. I think that was iffy. I still think it was dirty, but I understand.
Yeah, it was dirty.
Kind of look at it his way. I can see. I mean, obviously he doesn't have eyes in the back of his head. He doesn't know where the runner is. I don't think he should have done it, but I get why he did. So.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, all I see is a man who was completely in control of what he was doing. And he knew exactly what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
He was just doing what anybody else, any red-blooded American would do, or human, to be that matter, is push the envelope as far as you can. Push the bar. I don't know, whatever one you want to, whatever analogy you want to use. But he, was like a teenager, just pushing the buttons as far as you can go. And... I think, he pushed the buttons as far as he goes, and then he got pissed off when he had to suffer the repercussions. And I think that's what,
yeah.
I think that's probably what annoys me even more about the whole situation. And with the referee or the umpires know the rule and they're the judgment on the field. And, fortunately for Major League Baseball, they don't have the same kind of issues as the NBA has for as far as we know, because, let's be honest, with the NBA, while it's not obvious, I don't know what else you could say. While it's not supposed to happen, some of the stuff is pretty damn blatant that you almost wonder if there's someone in their microphone or in their headphone or, earpiece telling them, oh, you didn't see that. Turn your head now or call this one. You can't tell me that. I've seen it, Where Major League Baseball, I don't think they've gotten to that point yet. Where, like I said, if I were the umpire, I would have called him out and threw him out of the game. And then we wouldn't have had this big old brawl.
Yeah.
For that matter, I probably would have took Brock out too. I would have told both of them gone, but that wasn't the decision that was made. And, and when it comes to the umpires too, they know what's going to happen next. You can't tell me that they didn't know that that kid was going to come up to the plate and get nailed.
Oh, so, yeah, they knew.
With that being said, can you disagree with Chris Rose?
No, but I wonder, can an umpire throw somebody out for something he thinks is going to happen? I mean, that becomes a big window, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying he should have thrown him out because of what they could have foreseen to happen, just for the action that happened, But he's a new young kid. I don't know. I never heard of him, to be honest with you. So maybe he was giving him the benefit of the doubt. But, most of these umpires have been around the game longer than I've been alive, which right now is getting pretty long. It's just pretty long time. So they know what's going to happen. They know the game. And that's why we'll never get the umpire press conference.
I guess the issue with me is the fact that if he did, because again, sadly, neither you or I saw this, if Kelly did throw the first ball behind Austin, why didn't the umpire step in then and stop it?
Yeah.
That's very clearly tricky. He knew what was going to happen. And again, I don't know if that's how it went. Again, I didn't see that part like you. The only highlight I saw was him getting drilled and, then he almost did a dance at home plate and slammed the bat down and then finally went to the mound after Kelly kind of put his arms out and said, hey, you coming or what? But
when he slammed his bat down, he looked more like a crybaby. For me, I don't know if you want to call it a machismo thing, but, I would have liked to see him go Bo Jackson on that. and just cracked that bat over his leg and then walked to first base. To me, that would have been more of a statement. That would have been, because, you know, I don't know, but that's just me. And, you know, in hindsight, is 2020, you can, you know, there's a million times where you sit there in a situation and go, oh, I should have did this, but, you know, I don't know. It just seems like lately with these fights, these batters are so irrational that they can't, you know, they end up looking stupid when they try to fight. I'll be back 2 minutes.
Yeah. So yeah, just, you know, one of those, you know, one of those things. But as Dan, you know, runs off here on us, I can tell you that, I did not have a very good night on FanDuel last night. I still haven't picked the guy. You know, they have this free home run derby thing going on, and it's been 3 days. Today's the fourth. I've picked 9 guys who haven't homered. So you probably don't want me to pick your guy that you know, to homer. So, you know, that's just one of those things that just doesn't seem that's going to happen for me. You know, and then some of the other stuff, you know, one of the things last night was Alex Wood. I was talking to you on air about it. Huge play. Was supposed to be a gigantic play last night on FanDuel. He was the guy to have your money on. Yeah, 5 points. He got rocked. The A's ended up putting a 16 spot up against the board, and Wood gave up 7 of them. So Joey Gallo, who was another suggestion, yeah, got the big squadoosh. Absolutely nothing. Jonathan Scope had 19.2 for me, so he was solid. Todd Frazier, 6.5, a little disappointing. Jose Peraza, who was one of the under-radar guys at $2,400, did score 18.2 points for me. Mike Trout, no help to me last night. 12.7, not as good as he was the other night. Jock Peterson did rack up 9.2 points, so a little disappointing, even though he was just a $2,200 player. And then Jesse Winker, a complete bust, even for $2,600, scored just 3 points. Justin Upton, really solid, $3,600, ended up giving me 21.2 points. So tonight, you know, I try it again. You know, we racked up another entry. I mentioned earlier while we were going over it that, you know, Jose Berrios is apparently the play tonight. So I did spend the $9,000 on him for my pitcher. I'm trying the strategy where I'm going with 3 stars and then a bunch of kind of what I'm hoping are value guys. So I spent the $9,000 on Berrios. Brandon Belt is my first base catcher. I got him for just $2,400. I'm going with Ryan Goings of the Royals at second. He cost me just $2,000. Third base is Christian Villanueva for $2,500 of the Padres. I'm plugging Pat Velika in at short. I keep reading he's supposed to be a good value guy. $2,200. I'm hoping maybe he'll just get me a hit tonight. So, and then my superstars are in the outfield here. I paid $5,400 for Bryce Harper and $5,300 for Mike Trout. My third outfielder is Eddie Rosario of the Twins. He cost me just $2,500. And then my utility guy is Mike Moustakas for $3,700. So this is, again, what it looks like. Berrios is my pitcher. Brandon Belt is my catcher, first baseman. They're all in the lineup. He's hitting second tonight. Ryan Goings at second of the Royals. He's hitting seventh. Villanueva of the Padres. He's hitting cleanup for them tonight. Velika in the lineup for the Rockies, hitting seventh. Bryce Harper hits third for the Nationals. Trout is hitting second for the Angels. Rosario is hitting cleanup for the Twins. And Moustakas is hitting third for the Royals. So we're going that route tonight. Hopefully we'll cash a little bit and see how it goes. You know, I know there's a, you know, looks like DJ LeMahieu is DJ LeMahieu hit a solo home run. So maybe I should add him as my second baseman. He already racked up 18.7 points for the guys in my league. So yeah, I'm already in the hole. Look at that. God, there's a lot of guys who had LeMahieu, too. Holy crap. I didn't see anything about him being a great play tonight. So maybe we missed that, or I missed that, or somehow missed that. But, yeah, hopefully I will play some catch-up here, and maybe Ryan Goings will hit a home run, and I can make up the ground there. What do you think? You think Ryan Goings hit the solo home run? Yeah, neither do I. But it sounded good, didn't it? So, you know, we'll see how that all works out. But Yeah, I, again, you know, the home run thing is actually just kind of funny for me now. It's to the point where I'm going to try to go the whole week without hitting a home run. You have 7 free days, and we're on day 4. So I'm going to see if I can battle my way through the week and not hit one. So I think it's possible with me. I do have that kind of luck. I made serious picks tonight. I did actually go with Judge and Stanton in my lineup, and then I went with Rafael Devers. It was a, you know, very limited access, and I didn't like the matchups and, like, where the games were playing. You know, like, there's a game in San Diego, a game in Kansas City. Obviously, you know, it didn't matter for LeMahieu because he hit a bomb. I think they're, where are they playing? Where are the Rockies playing? And I don't even remember. So, but yeah, you know, none of that stuff seems to, you know, to matter or affect things, but, you know, hey, we'll see. But we did have the NHL playoffs kicked off last night. We had 3 games to get it rolling. And, you know, right out of the gate, I mean, how good did the Penguins look last night, racking up 7 goals on the Flyers? You know, Crosby had a hat trick. They won 7-0. He had just another one of those miraculous goals he's been kind of coming up with. He just whacked the puck out of midair and it went in the net. The other early game, the Winnipeg Jets got by the Minnesota Wild 3-2. You know, another really, you know, quality game there. And then the nightcap, the Las Vegas Golden Knights pick up their first playoff win. They get a 1-0 win over the Los Angeles Kings. So right now it's the Penguins, the Jets, and the Golden Knights with 1 game leads in their series. Tonight, the other 5 games kick off. We actually have the Maple Leafs and the Bruins are actually underway. In just a little bit, we should get the New Jersey Devils and the Tampa Bay Lightning started. 6:30, we got the Columbus Blue Jackets at the Washington Capitals. I know Dan is excited for that. Then we've got the Colorado Avalanche at the Nashville Predators. That's an 8:30 puck drop. And the nightcap tonight has the San Jose Sharks at the Anaheim Ducks. So, yeah, we get 5 hockey games tonight. Like I said, the Maple Leafs and the Bruins literally just underway. There's still like 18 minutes to go in the first period. So they just dropped the puck there. I don't know why the Devils and the Lightning haven't started. They were listed as a 6 p.m. start. But maybe they're just a little behind with the ceremonies or something, being that it's the first playoff game. But that game should get rolling pretty soon. Dan, you know, if you're looking for that Blue Jackets Capitals game, I want to remind you that it's actually on the USA Network tonight.
Oh, wow. I'll have to search for that.
So, yeah, don't go looking for it on the NBC Sports Network. They have the Maple Leafs and Bruins are over there right now, and then they're doing the Avalanche and the Predators. The Devils Lightning game is actually on the NHL Network, which oddly I don't get, so I couldn't watch that game if I wanted to. But the Sharks and the Ducks will also be on the USA Network. So you'll have to.
I wonder if they're doing anything.
Ready.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I wonder if they're doing anything with their app. I'll have to check that out later. Just go on the app and. Because, you know, with Major League Baseball, they don't give you the telecast, you know, the Fox or whatever station it's on, but they always give you the 4 different views and, you know, without the announcers, and they kind of give you these other camera views that are not, you know, the national broadcast. So I wonder if the NHL is doing something like that this year.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I haven't, you know, I've actually never tried to like stream an NHL game or anything like that. So, you know, maybe one of these games I'll have to try it over the weekend or something. So,
well, I mean, that's the other side of it though, is I've got an account, you know, to log into, but, you know, the NBA is the only one who really puts it out there. You know, like I get the email, I think you see it more on social media, like, hey, NBA, whatever they call it, blah, 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 is free for, you know, these 4 days. You know, we see that all the time where, you know, we pretty much know that the beginning of baseball season offers the free one, but really doesn't matter for you and I. And then the NFL doesn't offer it, so because you know they're ruled by the networks. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's just, you know, I think that's one of the downsides with the websites, you know, be it Major League Baseball and hockey, is the fact that, you know, they don't even toss out the free game. You only know about the free game of the day for MLB if you go on their app or their website. I mean, I would be sending, if I were Major League Baseball, I'd be sending out an email every single day. Hey, check out, you know, the Brewers versus the Cardinals.
Yeah, today the Twitter free game was actually the Cubs and the Pirates. So I actually did not know about that. Yeah, I didn't know about it until I went to check my Twitter.
And how did that pop up? Was it just like a trending now thing, or did it just pop up automatically
when
you turned on Twitter?
Right at the top of my feed. So
now, was this an app or was this the actual computer?
So I was on the you know, I was using the tablet because I was watching the game on television.
Oh, okay.
I was just kind of like, well, you know, I should probably catch up my Twitter feed because I hadn't been on Twitter in a little while. And I was just like, okay, let's see if I missed anything good or maybe I could get some more brawl highlights. You know, that's always fun. And yeah, it was right there at the top, you know, click here for, Cubs Pirates Live. So I didn't try it because I just kind of naturally assumed it was blacked out in my area, but maybe next time I'll have to look and see.
Yeah, no, I don't, when it comes to the social media ones, I do not believe they get blacked out. I was going to ask you, you should have clicked on it because you would have discovered the answer to my next question, which I can't ask you, but I'm still going to anyway, was who were the announcers? Did they just stream the local or did they have like their own? Which I don't know if we talked much about it anyways, but I thought that was kind of the cool thing with the Facebook Watch yesterday. It was the Cardinals and the Brewers, was the fact they had their own crew. I was disappointed that John Kruk wasn't part of that crew yesterday like he was last week. There was one guy I could do without. I think his name was Scott something. I don't know. But I like that they had their own, and they kind of went with maybe that was the thing, because Dan Plesac was there calling the game, and he was supposed to be more like the Brewers guy, and then they had another guy who was in there who was supposed to be like the Cardinals guy, and then you had the, you know, the Scott guy who was kind of, I guess, the mediator, so to speak. So I don't remember what last week's game was, but I'm assuming it was the Phillies game. Because it wasn't a White Sox game, because I know John Kruk could have, you know, doubled for the White Sox. Or even the Yankees, even though he never played for them. But,
yeah.
No, I thought it was, you remember. I thought it was pretty cool that they went that route where they had kind of a Cardinals guy and a Brewers guy. But they seemed to, depending on who was at bat, they seemed to kind of go towards that team a little bit more. As opposed to, you know, who was pitching or on the field.
So, yeah, I was trying to remember. I saw that, you know, it was just one of those things I was like, okay, whatever. I just never bothered to turn it on. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know why I get like that. Sometimes I'll see it and go, I should check that out. And then I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, whatever. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, the funny part is throughout their broadcast, they just kept mentioning how you find the game, and it's like, well, I'm already watching it, you know, so they had to throw in there, hey, if, you know, your family or friends or someone's trying to figure out how to get to it, you know, and I think that was kind of the downside with it, and I think that's why it's not going to work the way they want it to, is because you got to go through a little bit more. You know, people don't want to, you know, what you have to do is you go on Facebook and then you search MLB Live and then you click on that and then you got to click on the game. And I don't know. I think they need to Facebook more. So needs to find a way to streamline that a little quicker.
Yeah. You know, maybe, you know, obviously it's kind of still a work in progress. So maybe that's something that will, you know, will come along.
I don't know. There's still a lot they have to do with it, and it's amazing because you would think in today's day and age that there'd be a lot of talking heads or a lot of your guys in suits that would have had this all figured out by now, which I think if you threw you and I in a boardroom with brainstorming meeting with the developers, I think we could have came up with something a little bit stronger. I'm not going to say better, because I mean, you know, it is what it is, but I think they could have come up with something stronger to roll out as opposed to, you know, on the cusp of being like indie scene stuff, you know, with really high quality cameras.
Well, you should start sending them your ideas.
Yeah. They just ignore them.
See if they would accept any of them, you know. So, you know, that could be a big plus. So are you going to hunt down the Capitals game then, since you don't have a Cubs game tonight?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean that, and then, you know, it'd be kind of difficult to decide. I mean, 9 o'clock rolls around. Do I want to continue with playoff hockey and, you know, check out the Preds, or do I want to watch some Giants Padres?
Well, you can do both.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. I can pull out my other iPad. You know, and it's, you know, I'm definitely a baseball guy to begin with. I don't know how everyone else is out there. But I think what makes it, well, the hockey playoffs are exciting. I like to watch the hockey one. I might not really get into the NBA stuff until finals, but who even knows there either. But I think the one thing is, for me right now, the teams that I really have interest in, you know, the Cubs, the Giants, the Dodgers, so to speak, they're not playing like the Pirates have, you know, who are just going to run away with the division and, you know, knock the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Brewers out completely, because, you know, it's going to be them and the Mets all the way. So it's, you know, it's kind of a toss-up. You know, I still love watching baseball, but I don't know, the hockey playoffs are exciting. You know, ask Charles Barkley.
Yes. Charles loves the hockey playoffs, so.
He was there in Nashville. I mean, I'm sure tonight if you could stay up long enough to tune in to see which country superstar will be singing the national anthem.
Yeah, yes. Well, it has to be Carrie Underwood, doesn't it, in Nashville? I mean, you're not allowed to let anybody else do it.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, Nashville's like Hollywood of country. So they last year they had a different performer every night.
No. Well, that's, you know, we'll have, you'll have to let me know tomorrow when we get here for the podcast who sang the national anthem. That is, if they even show it, you know, you never know. So.
Yeah. No, it's hockey. They show both. You know, but yeah. The other side of it is, Big Jack, if it's not Carrie Underwood, I don't know anybody. So.
Yeah, you'd have to tweet it out right away. Otherwise, you'd be lost, you know. So, yeah. Well, you might recognize. There might be another person or two you might come across. You know, I mean, I'm sure you'd recognize Dolly Parton if she was there, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but she's over in the Smokies.
Yeah, well, it's close enough. You know, she's still – it's still Tennessee, right? So, you know.
Yeah.
I think that still counts. You know, she could, I'm sure she could get there if she wasn't busy, you know. But, yeah, hopefully, you know, it'd be interesting to see if they're, you know, they're quality games. You know, sometimes the first-round games can get a little out of control. And, you know, like I know Columbus was really good last year. I don't think they were as good this year. So it'll be interesting to see how they match up with, you know, Washington. And, you know, it would be so nice to see Washington win freaking something with Ovechkin. I mean, you know, he's probably the best ever play in the NHL that's never won a Stanley Cup. So, you know, it would be nice if he could get one.
You know, and it's funny though, because I don't even think we made any kind of hockey picks this year, did we?
We didn't.
No offense to either one of us. We didn't?
No.
No, but, you know, not that we, I don't know, you know a little bit more than I do, but we don't know the league greatly as we do baseball. But, you know, unfortunately, you get to pick. Well, I don't know if it's unfortunately. I think it takes the pressure off of me this year since you won last year to pick the Stanley Cup champion once we get to that point. But, you know, I think the biggest article or headline I saw right before the playoffs started was, and I mean, going from game one, do you think the Penguins are going to have a three-peat? I want the Capitals to win, but when you look at it that way, how cool would it be though to get a team, you know, this side of 2000 to get a three-peat?
Well, you know, after the way they looked last night, yeah, you'd have to say yes. I mean, they racked up 7 goals on the Flyers like there was nothing to it. So, you know, that was – I missed the start of the game. I turned it on. It was already 3-0. I was like, oh, well, this is over. Like, great. So, you know.
Well, you know, that's the difference with hockey, though. A lot of times it gets to that point, but it's – you know, you never know if it's over. But when it's the Penguins, it's pretty much over.
Yeah, you know, it was just kind of – I mean, I fully expected that the Flyers would score, but that just didn't happen. So, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those things. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, you know, Dan, I was just, you know, I'm always kind of perusing stuff to see what, you know, is going to, you know, what's kind of out there, anything unique that we might have, you know, that we might have done or know anything about. And I was wondering if I threw the name, and it's really kind of a generic name, so I'm going to guess no here. But if I threw the name Billy Mitchell at you, would it even register in a non-baseball way? I mean, it didn't mean anything to you, did it? Because it didn't mean anything to me. I had to read the article. So
no. I mean, it's
all right. Well,
guy.
Yeah. Well, he was actually voted Video Game Player of the Century, and his claim to fame was the fact that he was the first guy to score over 1 million points on Donkey Kong. Now, I was never a big Donkey Kong guy when it, you know, when it came out. I mean, I've played it here and there. Were you a Donkey Kong player?
My cousin had it on a computer, so that was the only time I played it, really.
Yeah, well, apparently, as he's been kind of living off this fact, and he was actually a pivotal player in a documentary called The King of Kong, which was about the video game. Well, believe it or not, Dan, they actually investigate these kind of things to make sure your records are on the up and up. And what it turned out is that Mitchell played the game instead of actually playing it on the real game. So his records have actually been now all voided because they believe he cheated.
Oh, wait,
blasphemy,
again,
right, Dan?
Yeah, as soon as you went and said it, my phone dished out.
Oh.
And you went away.
Yeah,
he played the games
on it.
Damn it.
And since he did it that way, it's all voided. His records are no more.
Wow. Like the end.
We both how it bumps on. But all right, the music team, Dan and I, are leaving. But we're going to come back tomorrow. Even though it's Friday the 13th, we're going to come back. You know what to do while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what goes on over there. Hit that link and follow it over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Don't forget, though, to jump on and follow the Twitter feed as well, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can stalk Dan and I on the Twitterverse, too, if you'd like. We're cool with that kind of thing. No big deal. As always, though, big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can go over to TuneIn.com and listen to the podcast anytime you want.
SportsTimeRadio.com.